As we get ready for start of service, and we'll start with a word of prayer. Daddy Father, I just thank you for this day, Lord. I just pray that you be these ones here tonight. Be the ones that are not here, Lord. I just pray that you look after them. Be with this service that I might honor and glorify you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to start with hymn number 364. Standing on the Cross, 364.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Amen. Thank you. Maybe see you.
Amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Hopefully you had a great holiday and things have gone well. I was sitting up here thinking a week from today, we'll be right in the middle of camp. And hard to believe camp's coming that quick, but it is. And we're looking forward to camp, looking forward to what the Lord will do in the lives of our young people. And I want to challenge you to please pray for our young people by name, okay? This next week, God does amazing things at camp. And I've seen him change whole directions of young people. You know, they thought they were going to be this, and God said, no, you're going to do this. And they would change and come back and go out to serve the Lord. And so I would just ask that you'd be praying for our young people, and then pray for Brother Decker as he preaches, that God would give him wisdom and insight and strength and power to preach those messages that will bring honor and glory to the Lord. And then we have classes and things like that. And so, you know, each one of those are important. And so pray, just pray that God would work, you know, that God would be honored and glorified through it all. We would appreciate those prayers. And then we'll talk a little more at prayer time, but ask that you'd be praying for Mrs. Van Dam and the services to come on Saturday, and a very traumatic time. And so if you would, remember to pray for them and pray for her, pray for his children, that God might be glorified there. Receive this thank you. It says, Dear Pastor Kevin and SMBT family, it's always a joy to be in your services and to see how God is blessing you and Shawnee. Thank you so much for your faithful support and prayers for the last 34 plus years. God has been good. Your generosity and the love offering, funds for the truck, and the box of goodies was above and beyond. Thank you so much. We love you, SMBT. God's grace to you, Barbara and Tim Downs. And so we appreciate the Downs and their faithfulness to the Lord all these years. We sure are thankful for our faithful missionaries. You know, it's a two-way street. It takes faithful missionaries. It takes faithful churches. And I'm glad that God's let us be a faithful church, and I'm thankful we have faithful missionaries that we can help and pray for and support. I'm going to throw a little bit of curveball at you tonight. If you would take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I've been asked by Brother Dedman if I would teach the joint sessions for the juniors and the seniors. And so on Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, they will have little breakout sessions. And then they come together, they'll do a joint session, and then we'll have a preaching time. And so the preacher will preach in the morning. But I get to do these joint sessions for the juniors and the seniors. And this year we're looking at charity, God's love. And so I just thought I'd give you my first one tonight. And, you know, so it'll help maybe draw your thinking towards camp and remember to pray for the kids. So this message tonight's entitled God's Charity Revealed. God's Charity Revealed. And we're going to look at the first three verses, and then we're going to look at verses 8 through 13, okay? So if you've found 1 Corinthians 13, follow along. I'll begin reading verse number 1. We'll read the first three verses, then have a word of prayer. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you for the opportunity that's ours to be gathered together here in this place and to worship you. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us tonight, that you might be honored and glorified. We're looking forward with great anticipation to camp and what you're going to do in the lives of our young people. We pray to God that Brother Decker would have power and freedom as he preaches, that the classes and the devotions and all that's going to be done down there would be used for your glory. We pray for all the young people going, Lord, and I just pray that their hearts would be tender, that you might get a hold of their hearts. Some have already set directions and things and motions in their life that'll take them away from you. And God, I pray that the Holy Spirit might have power and freedom to arrest them and get their attention, and might they become focused upon you again and have a great desire to live for you and to serve you. We thank you for this time together tonight. We pray that you'd be honored and glorified in all that is done. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So we're going to pick up in the latter part here of chapter 13, verse number 8. Charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Boy, that's an important verse today, amen. I see a lot of adults wanting to play like their children. And it's so important for us. Remember, we need to move forward. Anyhow, verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. So the first thing we see is the importance of love. How important is love in the grand scale of things? Well, God gives us his determination of the importance of love or the importance of charity. In verse number 1, he says it's more important than the gifts of tongue, that the gifts of tongues are useless without it. And of course, we know that the gift of tongues was a sign gift. It was given back in the New Testament. It was used in the book of Acts. When they had the fire fall from heaven, the day of Pentecost, and people preached and they were understood. One person, let's just say, stood up and he preached in Arabic, and then everybody from all their different nationalities understood what was being said. It was the gift of tongues. And, you know, we could argue, well, there's gift of tongues today for missionaries to go to a foreign field and learn language, but this is not what this is talking about. It's talking about a gift of tongues that was used back in the New Testament at that time for God's honor and glory. And he says about that, that without love or without charity, it's useless. It has no effect. And then the gift of prophecy, he goes on and he says, the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Wow, what a statement. Just think about that for just a minute. I mean, we're talking about being able to understand all the end times. You know, when Jesus is coming and what it's going to look like, and you can probably perceive, maybe even figure out. I mean, he says that all of that is totally useless to be able to understand the mysteries, the prophecy, to have all knowledge, to have all faith. Really, a faith to the point that you can even remove mountains. And he says, if you don't have charity or you don't have you don't have love, you're nothing. Sounds to me like love's important. God's love is vitally important. And then the third thing we see, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So I could give away everything that I have, and yet if I don't do it with a heart of love, if I don't do it with the heart of love, I think when we talk about this heart of love, it's God's heart of love. You know, if I don't have God's love for people, and it doesn't matter how much money I throw at people, it doesn't matter what I give, if I'm not doing it in the love of God for people where they are, that they might come to know Christ and walk with him, then it's nothing. It's nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, There's people in the United States who could walk in and gift to any church they wanted to more than probably any of us are worth. We could probably even stack some of us together. And the super wealthy of America could walk in and they could write a check for more than several of us are worth together. Amen? Amen? I mean, that's just the way it is. But if they don't have the love of God, it's worthless. Amen. But it's even more worthless for a child of God who knows God, who knows of the love of God, but they don't possess it or give that love of God out. It's even worse for them. It's like nothing. Well, what about this love of God? Well, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Well, how did he love the world? Well, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow, what love is that? What love is that? He gave his only Son to die at the hands of sinners, to be crucified, treated like worse than a criminal. He gave his Son to their hands to be tortured and persecuted and then to die there upon the cross. But he died with a purpose, showing forth the love of God for the entire world. How about Romans 5:8? I love this verse. But God commendeth his love toward us. Now, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I'll be honest with you, I have a hard time grasping that. Why would Jesus die for me and my sins? While he was there on the cross, I think he could look down the timeline to come, and he may have seen a kid named Kevin Metzinger, and he would have had every right to say, he's not worthy. Matter of fact, our Calvinist friends tonight would say that he was selective of who he died for. That only a few are going to get in, and only he knows who they are. And so I never understood how Calvinists can come to the point that they figure they're the ones. I mean, that buffaloes me. Man, I'm so glad that our God's a whosoever God. He doesn't look down and say, well, you know, if you can tote the line, if you can walk this walk, then heaven's going to be your eternal home. That's not what he says at all. He says, whosoever shall call upon me, whosoever shall call upon the Lord, they shall be saved. Man, what a great gift, this thing of love, that Jesus showed it to us as he went to the cross and he died. The Father showed it to us in the fact that he gave us his Son to come. And now it's ours to possess. It's easy to say you love somebody, isn't it? I mean, if you've been married any length of time at all, it may become easy to roll off your lips, hey, I love you, without really kind of like thinking about it. Well, yeah, I love them. That's why, you know, I can just say it so easy. Yeah, it would probably do us good to stop once in a while and think, how much do I love this person? Do I love them more than I did before? I mean, is today a brighter day? Is my love deeper now than it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago or a month ago? You see, our love, if we're going to love the way Jesus did, I believe that his love was totally complete. We cannot say that we love totally and completely. We try. We're trying to get close. I mean, I would hope that somewhere in my lifetime I can reach that pinnacle, but then I know that I am just a sinful man. But that doesn't give me an excuse not to work on loving people. If anything, it should drive me to work harder at loving people. You know, I've just kind of come to a point in my relationship with my wife that after all we went through last year, is it's just not worth fighting. It's not worth fighting. I mean, there's sometimes you wake up in the morning and it's just like you got up on the wrong side of the bed, or she got up on the wrong side of the bed, and tense words can be exchanged. And right now, I've just gotten to the point and said, whoa, stop. Life is too short to go down this road. We're not going to argue. We're not going to fight. You are a gift from God to me, and I'm going to love you with all my heart. And so let's just start over. Let's just start over. Young people, that would help you. I'm not saying you guys fight, okay? But I'm saying you are human. And when the devil would devil likes nothing else than to see a man and woman get upset with each other and spend hours infuriated. Why did I marry this man? Well, the main thing is you did. Let's just do a little counseling 101, okay? You did pick them. They are yours. And so you need to pray, God, help me to love them the way you love them. But listen, it just can't be our family. It's easy to love our family. Or it's easier to love our family. It's easy for me to tell my kids I love them. It's easy for me to tell my wife I love her. It's easy for me to tell my family members I love them. It's easy for me to come to church and say I love you. But what about the ungodly out there? What about the ungodly that curses about our Savior and maybe curses us? Well, that makes a big difference, doesn't it? What about that idiot on I-35 who cuts you off, you know? Can you just suck it up and say, man, I hope whatever's going on there, God gets them there safely. And if they don't know Jesus, I hope they come to know Jesus. Or is it be like, oh, I'm going to catch up with that guy and push him off in the ditch and, you know, all those kind of things. We're to love one another. Charity is so vitally important. Look at verse number 8, the indestructibility of love. The indestructibility of love. So it says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And so, unlike all these other gifts, love's going to stand. Prophecy can fail. Tongues can fail. Knowledge can fail. All these things can pass away, but love is never to fail. Love ought to be the keystone of our life. It ought to be the cornerstone of all that we do as a child of God. It ought to drive us and motivate us and push us. And it ought to push us forward for the cause of Christ. And verse number 9 says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Love, though, is a permanent thing. I don't understand all that's going to happen when it comes to the full prophecy of the end times. But I know one thing. I'm going to worry more about learning to love people the way God wants me to love them than to worry about trying to figure out if this piece is going to be here or that piece is going to be there. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I'm also known. And so, unlike all these other gifts, love is complete, and love needs to be worked on in our lives. And love ought to be something that we strive to be more like Christ, that we would love the way he would love. Paul offers two illustrations here. He offers the illustration of the child / adult, that illustration, verses 9 through 11. The gifts, if used without love, may be likened to the attitudes and actions of an immature child. But love may be taken, likened to the attributes and actions of a mature adult. And so we ought to be maturing in our walk with God. And the love of God ought to show through us as mature children of God, showing forth the love of God and not just taking it in unto ourselves and hiding it, but sharing it and giving it out to others that they might see Christ in and through us. And then the mirror, face-to-face illustration. In the present, through the gifts, we see but a mirror-like reflection of God. In the future, through love, we will see God face to face. Man, I can't wait till that day we see him face to face. That's my hope. That's my excitement. That's what gets me through sometimes here on this earth, that I know that this isn't it. Man, wouldn't it be a bummer if this was it? That would be a bummer. If we're just going to live life, die, and that was that, that would be a bummer. But we know, as children of God, that if we die, we immediately go into his presence, and dying is actually living. Of course, I want to go the other way. I want to go the upper way. Amen? I want to go through the rapture. Whether it's death or the rapture, either way, when I get to heaven, that's where real living starts. Amen. We're not really living yet. I mean, you know, you get a little older and you get some miles on you, and you're just kind of surviving. I hope I make it another year. I hope, you know, just one more year. When we get to heaven, that's when real living's going to start, man. Can you imagine? No pain. No doctors? Hallelujah. No dentists? I got to go over and visit Doc yesterday, and they poked around in my mouth, and you need this, and that, and that. And I walked away, and I'm like, man, where did I do that? But anyhow, when I get to heaven, I won't need these teeth. I don't want these teeth up there, amen? I'm going to get that glorified body. It's going to be awesome. It'll be the perfect weight. And, you know, it will just be awesome. So heaven is what we're looking forward to. It's what we're working towards. While we're here, we ought to consider the mirror. I believe this is a great mirror for us as children of God to look and read and to study what Jesus looked like and how we ought to look at the world, how we ought to look at others. You know, you remember the woman that was brought in adultery, and they were going to stone her, and they're telling Jesus all the evil things that she has done. He begins to write in the sand, and before long, all the accusers are gone, and here's the lady, and she doesn't know what to do, and Jesus tells her to go and to not sin. And over again, we were, even today in our Bible reading, reading about the guy at the pool. And the angel moved the water, and he said, before I can get in, you know, someone else gets in, and I never get in. And Jesus said, why don't you just pick up your bed and walk? Man, hallelujah. I just love to see some of those things. Maybe there'll be instant replay in heaven, you know? It's like DVR, and you can just, I want to see that one. I want to see the creation, first of all. I'm still baffled by all of that. But we have a great God, and the love of God is so vitally important that it should fill every child of God. It ought to be a part of our life. It ought to be a part of our living. That people would see Jesus in us, and they would see the love of God, that it might permeate us and flow through us to those around us. And then finally, the invincibility of love. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Faith and hope are among God's greatest gifts, and yet they are not the greatest gift. The greatest gift is love. Our prayer ought to be every day, God, teach me to love. You ought to zero in on people. God, help me love that person at work that just really rubs me the wrong way. Love them through me. Show me how I love them. It ought to be our desire. Husbands, we ought to pray, God, teach me how to love my wife the way you want her loved. Wives, same thing. With our children, God, teach us how to love our children, to train them up in the way that you would have them to go. God, show us how to love them. The invincibility of love is that nothing should outdo love. Love ought to be like the number one thing that we want to serve and do in our life. I want to love people. I want to love my family. I want to love my wife. I want to love God. I want to love the people I go to church with. I want to love the people in my neighborhood. I just want to love people. I think it'd really be great if when we died, They're looking for something to put on your tombstone, and they would say, well, he loved people. Not did he just love people, but he loved people the way God would love people. He didn't look at them with a list of sins to see if they qualified for his love. He looked at them as an individual who needed the great love that God had, and he loved them in spite of where they were. He loved them in spite of the sin in their life. He loved them all the way to Jesus. Lord, I love you today, and thank you so much for the truth of your word. I pray to God that you would use it in our lives as you see fit. We love you. We ask these things in your precious and most holy name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll have a moment of invitation. God's spoken to your heart. Encourage you to come. Just one verse. And God's spoken to your heart. Encourage you to come tonight. Brother Charlie, if you would.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all of the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and at peace as we rest, as you yield your body and soul.